Just as a reminder, in the cosmos, in the universe, how many existent beings are there? So we are beings. There are enlightened beings and unenlightened beings. So if we consider in this whole universe, what are the beings in here other than plants? Those are not sentient beings. How many sentient beings are there? Just to remind you, I showed this to you before. So cosmic existence, we said we have the 10 realms, 10 realms of the existence of sentient beings. So you know that humans are not the only existent beings in the universe, in the cosmos. We call it the cosmic existence. So we have the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, Sravakas, and Pratyekabuddha. Now those are the enlightened beings. And underneath, heavenly beings, Asuras, human beings, departed spirits, animals, and hell beings. So how many are there together? We have 10 existences. We are here. We are the humans. We are here. So don't think that human beings are the top. We are unenlightened. There are 6 here. I already have explained it in detail. This is just to remind you. Heavenly beings, Asuras, human beings, and then departed spirits, and some people call ghosts, animals, and hell beings. So there's 6 coexistence. We call it the 6 paths of reincarnation. So in other words, even heavens is not the ultimate way to go. People say, I want to go to heaven. But heaven beings, after enjoying happiness in heaven for millions of years, they still have to reincarnate again in accordance with their karma to other realms. So they shouldn't be the ultimate enlightenment place that we should be striving for. These are the 6 paths of reincarnations. After we departed this body, after we die, that is to say, then we will reincarnate into one of these 6 paths. We may reincarnate as humans again, or depends on our karma. Nothing to do with God. No, it's you yourself. You create your own karma. So make sure that you don't create bad karma, unwholesome karma, because you will reincarnate in your next life according to what karma you have. If you really have evil karma, for example, then you may reincarnate into the animal realm or hell realms, even worse. The 3 vicious realms, spirits realms, ghost realm, that is to say, departed spirits, ghosts, animals realm, and hell realms. These are the 3 vicious realms. Don't reincarnate in there. But who determines? You. You yourself determine where you go. So you watch your karmic energy, your karmic action. And then there are also the 3 virtuous realms, heavenly beings, Asuras, and human beings. They must have done a lot of wholesome deeds in order to be qualified into reincarnating into the 3 wholesome or virtuous realms. I'll just remind you. So these on the top are the enlightened beings. Pratyekabuddha, Sravakas, Srotapanna, Sakadagamin, Anagamin, Arahat, and then Bodhisattva, and then Buddha. These are the enlightened beings. They have different levels of enlightenment. So we want to practice to make so that we can change from unenlightened existence to enlightened existence. So you have that power yourself inside of you. Do you want to enlighten yourself? or you want to continue to involve with bad karma so that you reincarnate. Remember, what you have encountered in this life, what you have suffered from hardship, or what you have enjoyed from happiness, is due to what you have done. So watch your own karmic action, your karmic speech. All right, this is just to remind you. We say we want to, Buddhism is to study yourself, right? Buddhism is not about faith, about blind faith to believe in the Buddha. Buddhism is about understanding how this whole cosmos works. So who am I? This is what we have been exploring. We have the body and mind. We are body and mind. As far as body is concerned, we have all this, the material part, the physical part, but we also have the metaphysical part. One affects the other. So your body and your mind cannot be apart from each other. They all work together. So you really have to make sure that you're not only bodily healthy, you have to be mentally healthy. A lot of people are just pay attention to body health and not mental health. But mental health actually is the control. The mental health control your body health. So we have been studying mentality. We've been studying the mind. If you want to practice meditation well, you have to know your own mind. So we have been studying the mind, the consciousness. And the Buddha told us that we have 8 consciousnesses. We have to enlighten. We have to turn the illusionary 8 consciousnesses into the most diligent, wise, intellectual, enlightened wisdom. So that's what we've been studying. We're not studying about how to worship God, how to worship the Buddha. Studying how to enlighten ourselves through our action, through our speech, through our thought, so that we can purify our karma and turn our illusionary consciousnesses into pure, enlightened wisdom. That's the purpose. And we've been talking for a few months already. Now let's get to the content for this lecture. We say, how does our mind work? We have, other than the 8 consciousnesses that we have, the eyes, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the taste, the body, the mental, the mentality, and then the ego, and then the storage consciousness. When our sensory organs work, when we perceive, when we hear, we all do all that, we also have certain concomitant mental functions working in our mind. You may not know about it. Now you should know. Why should you know about these concomitant mental functions? Because you know that how you think, then you can control your own thinking. You think we can control our own thinking? We cannot. That's the reason why we are mad, we are jealous, we are greedy. Sometimes we are lazy, sometimes we are hardworking, sometimes we are depressed, sometimes we have all kinds of mental functions within you that come out and work with your consciousness to act, to carry out actions. And you don't know about it. You're just being carried away by whatever happened to you. But now, you don't do that. You analyze them. You are as if you stand apart from them and watch them. You have been carried away by all these externalities and you act accordingly. When somebody yell at you, you yell back. When somebody strike you, you want to strike back. You have been using emotions to react to externalities. That's why we suffer. Because we have been using our emotions to respond, to interact with externalities. That's why we suffer. That's why we're depressed. That's why we're greedy, we're jealous. We have anxiety, we have fear, because we're carrying away by externalities. Now, the Buddha said, look inside. Watch all your emotions as if you're apart from them. You watch them, and then you let go of them. That's how you let go. It's very important that we let go of all the suffering, all the depression, all the anxiety, all the fear, all the greediness, all those you let go. When you let go of those, that's the first lesson in meditation. Meditation is not just to sit there, how to fold your legs, is it the left on the right or right on the left, where do you put your hands, how do you do your shoulder, what kind of clothes you wear, where do you go for meditation, so you turn on the air conditioning or you turn on your heater. And these have nothing to do with meditation. This is just to make yourself comfortable. What is working in your mind when you're meditating? How you gear your mind towards enlightenment, not just externalities. So when you go to a meditation master, you don't ask them, how do you cross your leg? You know, left on right or right on left? I mean, those are not the most serious concern. The most serious concern is learn how to let go first. So we have already, in the last session, we study this 51 concomitant mental functions happen to everybody. Do you realize that in every thought you have this 51 mental functions working with you to carry out action and speech? If they carry out wholesome action and speech, they are your wholesome ministers, assuming you are the king. Assuming your consciousness, because you have those consciousness. Every consciousness, assuming, is a king. And king have ministers to help them. Some ministers are good, some ministers are bad. Have you been using just bad and wholesome ministers to help you to carry out your action and speech? You got to study them. Know your ministers. Know your mental functions. So we have been studying, first of all, in the generally interactive functions. We study attention, contact, sensation, perception, and volition. In everything you see, when your visual consciousness work, or your auditory consciousness work, or your tasting consciousness, or your touch consciousness, or your thinking consciousness, whenever your consciousness works, these five generally interactive functions are working at the same time. When they're not working, then your consciousness are not working properly. For example, if you don't pay attention, you don't know you're eating an apple. So if you're eating and there's something that you're so grief-stricken, you're so sad, or you're so happy that you don't know what you're eating because you're not paying attention to what you're eating. Contact. You could have witnessed a Mr. Chen there and you don't know who he is, although Mr. Chen is your friend, because you don't have the actual contact. You see him, but you didn't see, because you don't have attention, you don't have contact, you don't have sensation, you don't have perception about Mr. Chen, you don't have volition. So these generally interactive functions happen to you if you pay attention, if your sensory organs get in contact with externalities. If you feel the sensation, pleasure, displeasure, or neutral, if you actually perceive them, if the sensory organs actually perceive the object, and if you analyze them volitionally, then you will carry out speech and action. These are universal. These happen to everybody. We already have talked about them in detail, so we're not going to talk about them anymore. We're going to the next one, particular functions. Particular functions are five functions: desire, resolve, mindfulness, concentration, and intelligence. Why do we call them particular functions? Because sometimes you may use them, sometimes you may not use them, and different individuals have different level of these particular functions. Some people have very high particular functions. For example, they have very high desire, they have very high resolve, they have very high mindfulness. Some people's mindfulness is low, some people's mindfulness concentration is low, some people have low intelligence, so they are different. So they are particular functions. Sometimes when your consciousness are in contact with externalities, these particular functions may not come out in you because you are weak with those. And some people are strong with those. I still have to go into everyone, but I'm just giving you a brief general introduction as to what are these particular functions. Some people apply these particular functions in a wholesome way. Some people apply these particular functions in an unwholesome way. You have that choice, but usually people have chosen the wrong choice and they may not know about it. Let's try to analyze every one of these functions, the five functions. That's the first one. Particular functions, desire. Desire for action. This is the predilection, the liking. You like certain things for an undertaking. It accords with vigor, the desire for an object that has been thought about, desire towards a range of events of which there is consciousness. It is the will to do, which is in direct relationship to the desire object. Now, what do I mean by that? You read that paragraph, you may not understand what I'm talking about. Say, if you're at home, for example, and you're thinking about your future, and you said, oh, I graduated now, high school, and I want to get into university. I want to, because I got to have a degree. I desire to have a degree, because people, in the society, if I have a degree, it's easier for me to get a job. Or I have this desire to get a degree, so I don't want to go to university. Maybe at that time, you're a high school student, you graduate, you almost graduate, grade 12. So one day, because of many other influences, and you sit still and you say, I got to think about my future. I desire to do this. Or if you are a worker, you say, I desire to get a promotion. I desire to make more money. And how do I get about doing that? I need training. I need to work harder. I need to change my attitude towards the job. I have a desire. All these are wholesome desires, right? You desire to do something. You have a purpose, an objective to desire something. That desire, how strong is that desire? Depends on how much you want to do it. Some people's desire is maybe for a day. Today, he wanted to go to university. Next day, he wanted to go to a party. He forgot about his desire. He forgot about his objective. He forgot about his agenda. He just go about to do what he likes. He forgot about his desire. But some people, they put the desire on the night, on the 2017 agenda. January, I wanted to be a good meditator. I want to be more spiritual. I want to make more money decently. I want to be a good worker. Everybody should have an objective in life. Don't you have any desire to be better? Some people don't. Some people don't really care. So that's the reason why it's a particular function. When you're coming to the meditation hall, what's your desire? I desire to learn about meditation. In this particular session of meditation, I want to do well. I want to get enlightenment. I want to understand more. I want to go to the lecture to learn more about how to build my wisdom. When you were driving on the road on your way to the temple, you say, I got to go because I like to listen to this. I want to better myself. So you have a desire. Some people have a desire what? I just want to make more money. I don't care how I do it. And John told me that I can make fast money by doing something about drugs. It's bad, it's dangerous, but I desire to get more money. I want to do it. I want to take the risk. That's an unwholesome desire. Because in the process of doing it, you're hurting a lot of other people. You're drug trafficking. You're not hurting not even yourself, not only yourself, the society. So what kind of desire you have? You have that desire. The Buddha said, everybody's mentality contained that desire. You got to have the right desire. That's the reason why in the Noble Eightfold Path, the first Noble Eightfold Path is right view. You got to build up righteous view. You don't view truck trafficking as a good view because it's harmful to others. It's unwholesome. You desire to get pleasure in hunting. You want to hunt deers, you want to fish, you want to hunt for whatever you want. You want to take the pleasure in excitement and build that pain on animals. You want to shoot and kill deers, whatever you want, hunting. That's a desire to satisfy your excitement in pleasure, in sensory pleasure. That's the wrong desire because you're hurting animals. You're killing animals. So desire for action, that is different for everybody. Now it's almost November. You buy a new calendar, 2017, put your proper desire on the agenda. This is what I'm going to do for the next year. And this got to be wholesome, beneficial not only to me, to my family, to the society. That's a desire. In every session of meditation, you have a desire to do well. In every job that you're doing, you have the desire to perform your extreme goodness. In everything to do, in every meal that you cook for the family, you desire to cook well. You don't do a sloppy job. So as I said, the degree, the level of desire is different for different individuals. When you want to study the Buddha's teaching, don't just flip through it and say you understand it. Analyze it in detail. Think about it. Ponder on it. That's desire. Next, resolved approval. It is the resolve, the affirmation with regard to an object. It enables one to be free from diffidence with regard to an object perceived, the certitude that an object about which a determination has been made exists in just that manner, holding to certainty. It is the action of remaining fixed, affirm on an object chosen by choice, and it's the intensified interest which stays with his object. Resolve is what? An affirmation. You put your agenda on the calendar. You don't just put it away in your drawer. You stick it on the wall. And you say, I resolve to do that. I'm determined to do that. People's determination are different. Some people have very high affirmation. When they want to do something, to persist. They continue and continue, they never fail. They always take the patience and tolerance the hardship, and they want to finish the job. It doesn't matter how difficult. You give a certain person a job, he can perform it to 100% of his satisfaction. Another fellow worker may not be the same. You give him a piece of work, he just say, well, you only pay me $12 an hour. Why should I work hard? You make the money, I don't make the money, you give me 12. And when you're not away, I just slack off. That's no resolve. Do you know that if they pay you $12 an hour, if you work as if you're worth 30, you put in $30 of your efforts, and finally you will get $30 because your boss is not a fool. He knows he wants that worker. This guy, I don't want him to go. It does not matter how much money he requires. I'm going to raise his money because he's extremely productive. He's resolved to do his job well. So you see the difference? Some people say I'm egoistically, I have an ego. You only pay me 12, I just put in 12. You pay me 30, I'm not full. You pay me $12 and I perform $30, I'm a fool. You're not a fool. You have the affirmation to do it well. Resolved. I resolved to do a good session of concentration and meditation. I don't just sit there and doze into my drowsiness. Some people have high determination. Don't you have it? The Buddha told us that if you want to get enlightenment, you have to have resolved affirmation. Drive yourself to do better. You see how Buddhism works? Buddhism works not only for you, it's for the society. Not only for your own well-being, it's for the well-being universally. It helps your work. It helps you have a better life. Not just about worshiping, prostration, rituals. No, it's not about that. Next, mindfulness. Memory. A dharma by virtue of which the mind does not forget the object, but cherishes it in order to so express it. Mindfulness is that which enables thought to remember an object clearly, not to forget what has been done, is now being done, or will be done in the future. In other words, you are very mindful. You want to remember it all the time. You won't forget about it. Now, I want to turn that example around. If you have an unwholesome thought and your personality has a very high level of desire, you have a very high level of resolve, you also have a very high level of mindfulness, though you want to remind yourself that I want to do this, even though that's wrong. In the Second World War, in Nazi Germany, every Nazi soldier has high mindfulness in performing their duties under the influence of Hitler, the regime. They're very mindful of what you're doing. Mindful of the wrongdoing, not mindful of morality. So they were given the orders to station in concentration camps and control concentration camps. They're very mindful. They're mindful in the wrong way. So you got to be mindful in the right way, right view. So you have desire, you have resolve, determination, and you're very mindful of it. You always remember it, you want to perform it. Next is concentration, absorption. Samadhi is the unity of the object with the mind. This is the Dharma by virtue of which the mind and uninterrupted series remains on an object. Concentration is that which causes thought to be focused on an object. Focusing the mind on the same object constitutes samadhi. Samadhi does not exist separately. If we apply these five particular functions to learning about meditation, you will be very successful in meditation because you have the desire to learn, you have the resolve to learn, you have the mindfulness during your learning, and you have the concentration during your learning. You already, out of the 5 points, your 4 points fulfill. You already have the 4 points fulfill in doing meditation, in getting to what you want. What's the last one? Intelligence. Discernment. Prajna is discernment of the Dharma. What is prajna? It is true wisdom. The Blessed One said that this is the foundation of mindfulness. Prajna is the antidote to ignorance, the correct understanding of things as they truly are. This intelligence is extremely important. It is the demarcation between right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome. If your intelligence is prajna, on the right path, the right view, then you always have the right desire, the right resolve, the right mindfulness, and the right concentration. If your intelligence is wrong, you are being diligent and intelligent in the wrong way, then all that desire, resolve, mindfulness, and concentration would help you to be an evil. What examples can we think about that wisdom, intelligence could lead you wrong if you don't have the right view? You are a scientist. You are a genius. And I know in a certain country, I can't mention the name of the country, they invented a chemical method to turn gutter remains into edible oil. Have you heard about that? So in other words, they collected from the gutter of a restaurant with a lot of grease and all that, animal fat and grease, a lump of garbage, you know, with grease, and they can chemically turn that into edible oil. Have you heard about that? No, I haven't heard, but no, you know, you have that. And there was one guy who has a PhD in chemistry. He spent a lot of time, and he was successful in doing it. And he made billions of dollars by selling this edible oil to different restaurants at no cost, because he just collected garbage from leftover. But then it was later proven that that kind of oil is detrimental to health. It ruins your health. So this guy has top intelligence. Not every PhD chemical student or professor, who, whatever you want to call him, can invent such a chemical procedure to turn garbage into edible stuff. He's very intelligent, but he has no prajna. He has no right view in his intelligence. So don't gear your intelligence in the wrong way. For that, you need to study morality. So that's the five in the concomitant mental functions. These are the particular functions. Those five, your level, your degree depends on you. Everybody's different. Use them intelligently with prajna and build them up to your advantage on a benevolent way. In a benevolent way, not in a malicious way, in an unwholesome, unvirtuous way. All right, now that's the particular mental functions. And let's get back to concomitant mental functions. Remember, our consciousnesses work all the time. You have that consciousness. Say, if you close your eyes, your consciousness still exists. Your ears, your nose, your tongue, all this consciousness. And we already have studied the general and interactive functions. We have studied the particular functions. What's the next one that we should study? Unwholesome functions. Remember, in every thought, you have 26 unwholesome ministers helping you to perform. 26. You're born with them. You may not know about it. You're born with these 26 ministers with you. That's the reason why we've been suffering, because we have bad ministers. And of course, later we will show you some of the wholesome ministers that you have. You have 11 wholesome ministers, wholesome functions. But your unwholesome ones outnumber the wholesome ones by more than 100%. You may not know about it, but now we want to study them in detail. And then you have four indeterminate functions. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. So altogether, we're 51, right? We're 51. So we have studied the first five, and now we're looking at all the unwholesome functions that are working concomitantly with every thought that we have. So it's extremely important that you watch your thought, not just your action. When your action comes out, it's too late. When you commit the action, it's already too late. When you have verbally expressed your cursing, you can't take it back, right? You have to do it before it expressed itself. When it hasn't expressed itself, it's a thought. So watch your thought, not your action. It's every thought that counts. Every thought must be wholesome. If you start to step back and look at every thought that you have, if you have that ability, you will know that most of the thoughts that you produce in your mind in the 24 hours per day, most of them are bad thoughts. So if you have a thought of compassion, congratulations, it's good. If you have a thought of loving kindness, it's good. If you have a thought of giving, it's good. But analyze your own thought, if you can. Not a lot of people can. They just carry away by the thought and get in trouble. That's why we kill, we lie, we curse, we commit sexual misconduct, we drink, we intoxicate ourselves, we do all kinds, we're lazy, we're sleeping on the job, slacking off. Because if you don't slack off, you think you're a fool. Because that guy, my boss, is making the money, not me. Finally, you get fired. I remember when I get my first job, I thought the same way too. When I first get my job, I was wrong. I was fired. Because I thought that, why should I perform the best for you? I was washing dishes in the restaurant. And with hand gloves and all that, it's a lousy job. Why should I work hard? I got fired in my first job. And then I learned my lesson. I got better and better and better. Okay, let's look at unwholesome functions. Unwholesome functions, mental functions, 26 of them. What is this? The root, the basic mental functions. Unwholesome. Greediness, anger, ignorance, arrogance, doubt, and false view. Do you have those? Raise your hands if you don't have any of those. No. You dare not raise your hand. We will take a look at generally in the forest first, and then we'll look at every tree. It is as if we're in a helicopter looking down a forest. We know this is a forest, and then we analyze every tree. What is greediness? What is anger? What is ignorance? What is doubt? What is false view? But let's get a general picture as to how many unwholesome concomitant mental functions that we have. These are the root. From this root flows all these other secondary and medium mental functions. That's the origin. That's the origin. From the origin of the fount of the water, it flows down into different streams of unwholesome mental functions. Next, the primary ones flows from the root. Disbelief, laziness, indolence, thoughts wandering, torpor, or sluggishness, mental fogginess, forgetfulness, distraction, false understanding. These are the primary ones that every one of us have. Next, the medium ones, shamelessness and no guilt. You've committed something wrong, you don't, why should I apologize? We'll analyze every one of these mental functions. It's just to give you a general picture, because I don't think we have enough time to examine every tree. We can only see the forest for this session, and the next session we're going to analyze every one of these in detail so that you know, hey, I have that. I have every one of these. And where's my Hercules heels, which is my worst? You know about it. Some people have more laziness than others. Some people have more emotions than the others. Some people have more doubts than the others. Some people have more anger than the others. Some people have less. And then you have secondary ones. Secondary ones, hatred. So what's the difference between anger and hatred? Anger and hatred. The hatred is expressed. The anger is both expressed and unexpressed inside of you. So we'll analyze that in detail anyway. Vengeance to revenge. You want enmity. You know, you want to hurt your enemies. You think you have an enemy. You think that guy is always against you. So you want to do something about it. You have a lot of anger in you that you want to take action, because that guy has been fooling you, that guy has been cheating you, and you want to take actions to hurt him. Vexation, jealousy, harmfulness, parsimony, pride, concealment, flattery, deceiving. These are the 26 ministers that have been helping our king of consciousness in us, the 8 consciousnesses in us. These are the unwholesome mental functions that we have. And they have influenced our life. They brought us hardships. They brought us all kinds of sufferings. And now the Buddha said, you have to watch them. You have to watch every thought that comes up with this ingredients. These are your internal commentators inside of you. Everyone have numerous internal commentators inside of you. When you look at things with distorted, polluted eye lenses. You look at things in the way that you want to look at. You pass your judgment in the way that you want to pass. You discriminate according to your karma. You don't look at things as they really are. Internal commentator inside of us, born with it. You stereotype everything according to what your internal commentator told you. And some of us may be at the same time, hey, Reverend Guan Chang, you may not be telling the truth. I've got to check you out on the internet to see if some of this should not be included in there. You have doubtfulness. You have disbelief. And these are the unwholesome mental functions. So what have we been talking about? We've been talking about concomitant mental functions, in which we have 5 universally interactive ones: attention, contact, perceptions, volitions, etc. And we also have the 5 particular functions that you may or may not have sometimes. The first 5 happen all the time, 24 hours, non-stop, even in your sleep. In your sleep, you still have the first 5. The second 5 you may or may not have. And even if you have, it may be wholesome or unwholesome. Depends on your personality. Depends on your karmic energy. Depends on what you have been built up with before you were born. You already have all these karma in you. That's the reason why some were born in rich families, some were in poor families, some were born in broken homes, abusive homes, and some in happy homes. Some have intelligence and some don't. Some can study well academically, some can never study well academically, but they can be good worker. Everybody's different according to their own karma. Why? Because every idea, every thoughts are different. Thoughts, if you habitualize the thoughts, every one of your thought, if you habitualize it, it becomes what? It becomes a habit. When a habit happens for so long, it becomes a personality. Your personality dictates your destiny. Don't you want to have a good personality? Never too late to change. You are 60 now, too not too late. Of course, you're 30. You can change it. I started to change when I was 50. And I'm still changing it. I find that yesterday was a lot of things that I did may be wrong. A lot of things that I thought about may be wrong. Now I should gear towards the right way. There's no time that you should not learn and improve yourself. But you must be on the right path. What a valuable Saturday morning. You have absorbed something what the Buddha told us. You could have spent your time eating on your hamburger, drinking your coffee, but you have chosen to learn more about these so that you can better yourself. You are special. You're not just an average individual. You must have certain ties with the Buddhist teaching that makes you come over here. There's causality in everything that happened. Nothing happened without a cause. So nurture that cause, that wholesome cause. Let it flourish. Don't dry it out.